takes. Odds are Ken won't live to see tomorrow.
So, Andy Breckman, you didn't want to take your chances with the Jersey City PD tonight, did you?
Well, we were going to stick out and try to...
What's going on here?
What's going on with what?
With your mic.
We'll go make it work. Make it better. Make it way better. Is that better?
That's better.
Yeah, we were going to stake out my car. I've been getting tickets every week now, even though I put notes on the windshield.
What do your notes say?
It says, I'm in show business. Hey, I wrote Rat Race.
Well,
you know.
That's not going to work.
Don't ticket me. I wrote the first draft of IQ.
You think that's going to get them to not ticket your car?
I had two meals with Madonna.
You have to just get the Park Mobile app.
Well, anyway, I've been getting tickets, and I put the quarters in the meter dutifully.
Ah, quarters.
Dutifully.
Yeah.
And the meters are broken. They take my quarters, but they don't register anything.
Oh, did you
notice? Nothing on the screen.
Oh, so you noticed that when you put the quarters in, nothing happens on the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
But you keep doing this anyway.
Yes, every week for 4 weeks, I've gotten $35 parking tickets.
Well, why do you keep doing it? If
you're a student of human nature, how come every time I get a parking ticket, I get mad at you? Explain that. It doesn't make sense.
Well, you know what a wise man once said, that the definition of psychosis is continuing to do the try the same thing that doesn't work and expecting a different result.
I believe a man said that, but I don't believe he was a wise man. That's stupid.
No, that's pretty smart, actually. So you keep putting quarters in the meter.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything to the meter.
This is your long-winded way of calling me psychotic now, of course.
No, I know you're not psychotic. What was that?
I don't know. I couldn't think of anything to say.
Were you imitating me? Or?
No. No, that's not unusual. When you can't think of something to say, you just start scat singing. Don't you do that?
I do not, no.
Well, what do you do if you can't think of something to say?
I usually launch into a limerick.
I do scat singing.
That's scat singing? That's what that was?
That's psychotic scat singing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we were going to stake out my car and ambush the meter maid, but it's raining out. It would be stupid to just sit there for an hour in the rain, and the meter maid probably wasn't even going to make her rounds today.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know what to do about that. What do I do about that?
You get the app.
Seriously, I'm asking a serious question. No joking around. What do I do?
You're a 70-year-old. Let's get
this
straight.
Go ahead.
You're a 70-year-old balding Jew.
Yes, exactly.
With a whole bunch of quarters in his pocket.
That's right, exactly.
And you keep putting the quarters...
That makes me your worst enemy, by the way. Go ahead.
You keep putting the quarters in the parking meter.
Gotcha, every week, yes.
Even though it doesn't change what happens on the parking
meter. 4 weeks in a row, got a ticket. Last week, I really wrote a note. You want to see the note I wrote last week?
I would love to see it.
Really? Would you post it somehow?
Yeah.
Okay, this is me last week.
Send it to me.
Well, I don't know how to send it. Wait, hold on.
Well, I'm not going to put it up right now, but, you know, when we do this idea for real, when it's not raining out.
No, I'll show you. Wait, hold on.
You probably made a joke in the note.
No, I did not make a joke. It's here, this is me last week. Look. That's me.
It says, please do not ticket. I fed the meter.
Exactly.
Okay, but you didn't use the app. They're just,
no, I fed the meter.
But how are they supposed to know that if
I fed the meter because I told them I fed the meter.
The quarters that you put in didn't change the meter at
Why
all.
Why do they have those meters? The meters took my quarters.
Yeah.
They didn't plug up the slot.
But you noticed that the quarter did not change how the meter looked.
But there's no sign that says option two. Download this app.
It's not the old days.
There's no sign. What if I had never met you?
Oh,
'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. Wait, what if we had never met and you had never been able to clue me in about this app?
It says it on every meter.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It says zone 46132, Park Mobile app.
You mean? They assume you have an iPhone. They assume you can download an app. They assume all of that.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Anyway, we can't. Anyway, we were going to ambush the meter maid. If I get a ticket today,
you were going to.
If I get a ticket today, I'm gonna take it out on somebody. You don't want to be near me. Oh, you don't want to be married to me tonight.
Oh, are you going to take it out on Bethy?
If she'll let me, I have to ask permission.
Yeah. Bethy, don't let him do it. And this and tonight will be the fifth week in a row that you got a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, okay, if I get a ticket tonight, I'm coming back next week. Loaded for bear. You ever hear that phrase? Loaded for bear?
It'll be great. They'll arrest you. It's not like the old days.
You mean if I confront the meter maid?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be the best show ever? Me being read my rights?
So if it would be great.
Yeah.
So if you get a ticket tonight, that'll be a grand total of $175 in fines for the last 5 weeks.
It's What's that app cost? Is that less than the app would cost?
The app is free.
Free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Free as opposed to what? How much?
$175 for the last 5 weeks.
Okay, tell me how much the app was again.
It's free.
$175.
It's called Park Mobile.
Oh, I'd much rather do the free thing.
And in New York City, you might want to get yourself the Park NYC app. What do you do in New York City when you go there?
I don't park on the street usually. Oh, I find a lot.
You pay full.
You know what I feel like talking about right now?
What?
The toothache I have right now.
Oh, yeah, you're in great pain.
Yeah, it's throbbing. I just feel like talking about it. I know it doesn't mean anything to you.
Is it your wisdom tooth?
I'm surprised you can't feel my toothache. That's how hard, that's how sharp the pain is.
Yeah. What happened?
No, it's an upper, it feels like an infection.
Cuspid, bicuspid?
Oh, shut up. I'm not going to sit here and have a man say cuspid by cuspid to my face.
Are you still accepting applications for your new CBS Network TV show, Einstein? I know that you're still casting.
You don't want to audition for me while I have this terrible toothache. Believe me.
You're looking for some consultants?
No, I'm not looking for consultants. Oh, my gosh, no.
You're looking for script people, writers?
Dear God, no.
You have a lot of people to hire.
No, God, no. Everyone's been hired. We're fully staffed.
My understanding.
Yeah, your understanding.
Oh, who's taking the lead female role?
Well, that is TBD.
Oh, that's TBD, but everybody else is hired.
Well, there's some other casting we have to do.
Yeah.
I can't figure out why you're not talking about my toothache.
Extras?
It's all anyone can think about right now.
Walk-ons?
Yeah. Yeah, you can be an extra. If you get your bony ass up to Toronto, you can be an extra.
Does it have to be a bony ass?
You get whichever one of your asses you want up to Toronto.
Okay. And once again, his name is Andy Breckman.
No. Don't. Oh, baby. Don't. Oh, don't have people. You get number one. You don't want to get people's hopes up. I can't hire people.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't want to talk to people. I don't like people.
I mean, you still have to hire the lead female role.
Well, but that'll be someone established, an actress.
Uh-huh.
But you can't get people's hopes up. I don't want to get listeners' hopes up.
An actress who's not currently employed.
Well, or won't be, or will be available next year, you know, when we're shooting.
Oh, next year's when you're shooting.
Yeah. Don't get people's hopes up, man.
No, I'm not trying to.
Listeners should know, all your listeners, Ken, should know they're going to die unemployed. They're never probably going to work again. They should know that, Ken.
Why?
Because that's close to the truth.
No, it's not.
Ken, you and I both
know. It's not true at all.
Yeah, right.
Right, well, we have an idea for tonight's show.
Oh, baby, don't we?
But we want to bring in Scott Chin.
If your tooth is hurting as terribly as mine is hurting me, give me a call.
Because Scott was going to help us when we were supposed to be out on the street. But
1 to 10, guess how much my tooth hurts.
10? Is it really a 10?
It's a 9. It's a 9, Scott. I've got a toothache.
Andy, please meet Scott Chin, one of our newest
Hey,
DJs.
Scott. Ken is a big fan, and that makes me, by proxy, a big fan.
I'm touched and honored.
Yep. I'm a fan without ever hearing your show.
Scott,
that's how good you are.
That's probably for the best.
No.
Scott does a new program called Anima Mundi on Saturday nights at midnight.
So now no other DJ can use that name. Anima Mundi is taken.
Yeah.
Fine.
Dozens of people disappointed that I finally nabbed Anima Mundi.
You got there first.
Yeah.
And see what a great voice he has?
He does. He has a great radio voice.
Yeah.
Tell me, in, if you can do it in briefly, how, what is Anima Mundi referred to? What does it mean?
Well, I do some witchcraft on the air and play a lot of music, some of which is weird, but not all of which. That's pretty much it.
What does that mean, you do witchcraft on the air? Are you a practicing witch, pagan?
I am. I'm a pagan. My family's pagan. And I, on a lark, I did a spell on the radio last year when I did a radio run.
On FMU?
On FMU.
That would explain almost everything. Fantastic. I know exactly when that happened.
No hexes, though. Only good spells.
And
only
then what did?
Spells.
How did your spell change the station?
I don't know if it changed the station. It's more about, it's, I don't know, the listeners. Some of the listeners have been saying that it's doing something for them. But most importantly, it's doing something for me. I'm having a great time.
Now, was your family, were your parents really into this as well?
No. I was raised Presbyterian.
And then how did? And then what was the moment where you said, "Wait, there might be another door I could go through"?
I went to the UK and I met some German witches on a beach, and it was all very casual in the beginning, but it kind of started working for me. This is fairly recently.
Do you know about the Louise Hebner CD in the library?
I do.
I read her book of spells in 1971, and I did a spell out of that book.
How did it work for you?
It worked.
See?
It worked. It was a love spell that I cast on Betsy Cohen.
Well.
And it worked.
Maybe you two should get married.
The spells really work if you think
Oh, sure they work. I mean, the German witches on the beaches in the UK, they're not gonna lie to you. They're not gonna mislead you.
And then I gave them a ride to Wales. So
yeah, good. That's a great story. You're an inspiration. That story has something for everyone. And then I'm almost afraid to ask. How do you make your living? Let's say hypothetically you want to make a living in the adult world.
I work in advertising.
Perfect. That makes perfect sense.
Andy loves advertising.
I do love advertising. Otherwise, how do I know what Beth should buy?
Doesn't everyone love advertising?
They do. They do love advertising. It's like they're talking directly to me. And okay, and what do we have? Anything special you want to plug for this week?
I don't know. My show's 3 days away. I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you follow
Marty McSorley and you precede Jim the Poet.
That is true.
Now, be honest with me. Pretend for a minute that Ken's not here, which I, by the way, is one of my favorite pastimes. what do you think of your time slot? You're on it Saturday at midnight. Is that your first choice time slot?
It actually was my first choice.
Liar! Liar!
I love Saturday midnight.
Yeah, liar!
It's a great slot. Late night radio.
I guess if you're doing a show like yours about the dark arts, I guess you want to be on at midnight.
It is a powerful time.
It is a powerful Saturday midnight.
Literally the witching hour.
That's fantastic. It makes me almost want to. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have my assistant listen to the show.
Good.
And he'll tell me all about it. He'll fill me in because that's how intrigued I am.
That's a high honor to have you. Your assistant.
My personal assistant. Wow,
that's big.
And who is your personal assistant these days?
I'm not mentioning his name. I'm not gonna.
No,
that's the last thing I need of people.
I've lost track.
Bothering.
You've had so many personal assistants over.
Yeah, they're always one lawsuit away from leaving. That's how it works.
I have to find out who it is.
Yeah.
I usually know who they are. They usually help out with this show, once
in a while. Here's all you need to know. This guy's hot.
Why hasn't he helped out with this show yet?
With FMU?
Yeah.
I guess he could. That's right. Previously, my assistants have made some audio tapes that we've used.
Is he hotter than Matthew Grubler? Who is starring in the CBS television show Einstein?
Yeah, he's hotter than. Well, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Because Matthew Grubler is really hot.
He's a male model.
Yeah.
That's how you know he's hot.
I know.
Well, Scott, I know we brought you in to help with the Meter Maid stakeout, and that didn't happen, but you have been a mensch. He's been, and you have agreed to call screen for us for our mystery celebrity encounter. It's
so why don't you kick it off, Andy? Show how it works.
Well, I'll tell you how it works. What we're going to do is we're going to tell a story about celebrities that we've met, but we're not going to identify the
celebrities. Oh, Scott, no, you have to come back because Andy has to write down who.
Oh, I'm going to, yes.
Andy has to write down who the story is about.
That's right. We're not going to reveal on the air who the celebrities are, but at the end of the show, Scott, you'll come back and you'll reveal who all the you'll fill in all the blanks. We're going to hear stories until 7 o'clock about celebrity sightings and celebrity encounters, but we won't know who they are until just before 7. And that way, you're into advertising. It's actually a brilliant marketing device. Wouldn't you agree?
It is.
It will keep you, because the challenge.
Suspense.
Exactly. When you're on FMU, the biggest challenge, and you're learning it, you're new here, is to keep listeners from tuning us off, to turning us off. Every ounce of in their body, every instinct they have is to turn off the radio when they listen to FMU.
Last week I read a poem for 10 minutes, and that didn't work very well.
No.
I think this is better.
This will keep people tuned in because they'll want to know who was that celebrity. They'll be intrigued. Okay, so I'm going to write. Hold on. My story has two celebrities in it.
Two?
Yes. Wait, hold on. Let me just...
What are you doing?
I have to check my phone just to...
Why?
Because I want to make sure I have the right guy's name. My memory is
not. Oh, he must be a really big celebrity.
Oh, shut up.
If you have to check whether you have the right name or not.
Oh, please shut up. Oh, please shut up, Sue. You can't keep talking.
Yeah. No,
there's
I can.
No way, nobody can. Okay, and here's celebrity A. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to tell the story. I'm not going to identify the celebrities. Wait, I don't need to write these down for Scott because I'm here.
But you can't.
I can reveal it myself later.
Okay.
I don't need Scott to fill in my blanks.
Fair enough.
Okay, but I gave Scott his name. Okay,
so
I'm going to tell the story. This is now a couple decades ago, 20 years ago, a little more or less. I'm in Las Vegas, Scott. I have a life, right? And I'm on a project. I'm working a job. You know, I'm in show business.
Yes.
Although it doesn't keep me from getting tickets in Jersey City, all my credits, they treat me like a civilian here. They treat me like one of you guys.
Well, you are a civilian here.
And anyway, I'm in Las Vegas. I'm with a celebrity. It's after hours. We've worked all day. And this celebrity, it's a guy, it's a male.
Uh-huh.
At least he was at the time. This celebrity... was gambling, and apparently he gambles, and he's into it pretty seriously. And he's in the high stakes room. Have you ever been in that room, Ken?
I haven't. No.
No, that's kind of roped off. And so I was not gambling with him, but I accompanied him just to hang out. And he was playing. I don't even remember what he was playing. I don't know if it was like Baccarat, some weird game that I couldn't quite follow. I think it was something like Baccarat because I remember he was teaching me the rules. I was unfamiliar with it. But anyway, here's the bottom line. Get this. He won. He won huge, right? Won really big. And this is after dinner. This is 9, 10 o'clock. Really big winner. And you know what they did? They came around and they comped him. They said, we'd like to comp you tonight. And your friend, it was me and a couple of other guys, and we'd like to comp you tonight to tickets to the Righteous Brothers. It was at another hotel across town. They had a limousine pull up, and they drove us to the Righteous Brothers, and we had these box seats. We had these amazing front row seats, and the Righteous Brothers came out. And, you know, in Vegas, these guys do, you know, a tight 53 minutes. It's the short sets, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to get them back gambling, right?
Yeah.
So the Righteous Brothers came out. They did their set, and then we were ushered. It was we treated like kings. We were brought backstage, and this is where the second celebrity. Guess who was the band leader and arranger for the Righteous Brothers band? Their touring band.
Charo?
No, it was the father of a famous celebrity. So I met this guy. He worked for the Righteous Brothers. He was their band leader, and he introduced himself, and I knew his son. It was the father of a celebrity. That celebrity B in my story. Two celebrities in my story, right?
Both male.
Both male. And okay. Then get this. But wait, my story's about to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
the limo came and picked us up and drove us back to the original hotel. We were staying at the Venetian. It's a big hotel there. Oh, I think I said a name.
I dumped it. I think we got it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that's good. We had 7 seconds to dump it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 5 seconds.
Oh, I think we got it.
Don't do what Andy just did.
Yeah, exactly.
Mention the name.
Yeah, exactly.
The name of the celebrity on the air.
Defeats the purpose. Anyway, this celebrity comes back to the hotel. Now it's about midnight, a little after midnight. You know what he does? Can you guess what he does, Scott? Can you guess what he does, Ken? What does he do? He's feeling good. He just had a big night out. He's had a few drinks.
Hires a hooker.
No, no, no. What does he do?
He throws something off the balcony.
No, that's a good guess. It's
drives his car into the pool.
No, that's a good guess, too. By the way, when I say good guess, I mean stupid. You're both stupid. You know what he does?
Did anybody hear? If you heard the name, please mention it.
Please don't mention it.
No, mention it on the chat board okay. So we know that you heard it.
Okay, but wait. Here's what he does. Here's what he does, because he's had a few drinks. He's feeling good. He's feeling grateful to that original hotel. You know what he does?
Does a speedball.
No. He goes back, because he's a gambler. He goes back to the high roller section.
Oh,
of the
and
hotel,
loses everything.
And loses everything.
Yep.
That's... And then much. They knew he would lose. Mm-hmm. If they could keep him on the ground.
Nice.
If they could keep him contained in those walls.
Yeah.
And if he got out, they brought him back. They had the car bring him back. Lost a fortune.
Everything working as planned.
Yep. So right, how much did he win? Like 100?
I don't. It was enough. I was very impressed at the time. Don't remember. But it was enough for them to spend that kind of money to get him back.
Wow.
And
that's
so
how it works.
That's the story. So I will tell you at a little before 7. I will tell you the names of that celebrity A and the name of celebrity B whose father I met.
All right.
Backstage.
That's how it works. So, Scott, you're going to take over the call screener chair now.
So people will call. They'll tell Scott the name of their celebrity, right?
Yep.
And then they'll tell us on the air the story using pronouns or vaguely describing.
Pronouns. Great idea. Great idea. Phone number is 201-209-9368.
And the phone number here is 201-209-9368.
No, that's the same phone.
No, same phone. Same phone.
And
hardly worth mentioning.
You're going to talk to Scott first.
Yeah.
Scott Chin of Anima Mundi.
So we're looking for a celebrity encounter you had, a celebrity story you had, a story that you've been dining out on for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, boring your friends.
Yeah, I don't know.
Your girlfriend or wife wants to kill you if she hears it one more time.
I don't have one like that.
That's another show, by the way. What story has your husband or wife told more that you could do by heart? That's a great.
That is a good one.
Yeah, you tell your husband
and tell us how it's changed over the decades.
Exactly. I'm going to make a note of that.
Because that's the thing. You hear you hear somebody tell the same story.
Yeah.
For decades and decades and decades, and if you're careful, you'll notice little changes until the story is completely different.
You don't
than it
have
was.
To be careful. You can just notice changes. Wait, I'm actually going to make a note of this. Hold on.
That's a great idea.
It is. I know. It is a good idea. See, I always make notes of these things.
I have only one celebrity story, but I've told it on the air so many times that I
so can't, I'm already eligible for next week's show.
I can't even tell it anymore.
Yeah.
So we need people calling us up at 201-209-9368. We've done this topic twice before, and
your husband has told 100 times.
It always works out fairly well. Now, you were talking about staying at the Venetian. Is that the hotel that has the canals and the,
yes.
the gondolas?
Yes.
And what? Geez.
You know you're in a good hotel. A lot of hotels don't have canals and gondolas. I've been in both. I've been in both kinds. I prefer the gondola hotel.
Geez, what movie was it that I just saw, or TV show? Oh, it was Seth Rogen's show, The Studio.
Oh, yeah, they shot a scene or two?
Yeah, they shot a scene in the Venetian, I think. Yeah.
Great story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
201-209-9368. So just avert your eyes, Ken, because the phone bank is going to just light up. You could burn your retina.
The phone number is 201-209-9368. Oh, I do have a story that I can tell.
Okay.
Don't
mention the name of the celebrity.
I won't.
Okay.
I was with
Sigourney Weaver?
It was not Sigourney Weaver.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I do have a Sigourney Weaver story, though.
I will pay you money never to hear your Sigourney Weaver story.
Okay.
My new goal in life, to die without hearing your Sigourney Weaver
story. I also have a David Crosby story. Oh, jeez, I blew it.
You did.
Oh, my God.
You did.
Yeah. It wasn't a very good story anyway.
Wait, was that the story you were about to tell?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I can tell another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the David Crosby story?
No.
Is it the Sigourney Weaver story?
No, it's not.
Okay, which one is this?
This is one, I was in Switzerland, and I was with a famous rock star who had been previously known as the conscience of his generation. And we were going to go wingsuit flying. And we got all suited up to go wingsuit flying. You know what wingsuit flying is, right?
I do. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous.
And there was a thunderstorm coming off over the horizon, and we were being advised not to go.
Yeah, that makes it even more dangerous.
Yeah, but this celebrity, he really wanted to go. And we got all suited up.
Celebrities are nuts.
In our wingsuits.
Celebrities aren't afraid of lightning.
No, they aren't. And he wanted to wear his harmonica. And the wingsuit instructor was saying, no, it's not a good idea to wear your harmonica while you're wingsuit, especially during a thunderstorm.
Brother. Oh, brother.
Because it might attract the lightning to the harmonica.
Is this a photo you had ChatGPT make?
No, recently? No. I do have a real photo of it, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And
well, now they're not going to believe any stories that they hear all night because you're just making up this BS story.
Yeah, you're right. That was a BS story.
I know. Yeah. Everybody knows it.
Well, it was Bob Dylan.
I know, but nobody cares. Nobody cares about your fictional made-up story.
Yeah. But it looks real.
What, the picture you made?
Yeah.
Bob Dylan in his wingsuit?
Yeah.
Flying over the Alps?
Wearing his harmonica.
Yeah. You made that, and where can we see that picture?
Oh, you can see it if you go to tonight's playlist page at WFMU.org.
And suppose we don't want to see that picture. Where can we not see it? Anywhere else, I guess.
Go to CNN.com.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. You're promising that they don't have that picture.
Okay, here we go. Somebody has told their story to Scott. They've revealed the celebrity.
Okay, now we're going to hear the story. We're going to hear everything, but...
We're going to hear the story without the celebrity identified.
Now, hold on. Now, before we begin, is it a game? Is it interactive? Are you and I trying to guess who the celebrity is?
No.
We're just going to let it play out.
Yes. Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
My name is Jeff from Lower Baltimore, and I've got a celebrity story.
Okay, Jeff, before we begin, from 1 to 10, how badly are your teeth hurting you right now?
Well, you know, it's funny because you know what time it is, don't you?
I know what
it's,
time it is.
It's 6:30.
Yeah, New Jersey, yeah.
No, it's 2:30. It's 2:30.
It's tooth hurty.
Tooth hurty.
Your tooth are hurting. It's tooth hurty.
I don't get it.
2:30. Okay, yeah. That's anyway.
Can you explain it?
It's
my celebrity story is better than that, don't worry.
Okay, here we go. Jeff, I understand you had an encounter with someone famous. Why don't you tell us about it, but don't reveal the identity of the celebrity.
I will not reveal the identity. That means don't reveal the name, but I could say, for example, it's a musical performer.
You can?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you can. But just be careful about it. Too many hints. But here we go.
Okay, yeah. So I was just, my friend said, hey, do you want to set up chairs for $100 for this concert that's going to be taking place? And I said, yeah, okay. And for this person, who I'm not going to say the name, setting up chairs, one of the roadies comes over and says, hey, we need somebody to cable page. Who wants to do it? And I didn't know what cable paging was, but it was probably better than setting up chairs. So I said, I'll do it, because there was a couple other people setting up chairs. I'm like, I jumped right on it. Do you know what cable paging is? Or
no, I'm keen to learn.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay. Yeah, cable paging. So this particular performer, this musician, when they performed, used a wired microphone, not a wireless one. And so they need somebody to sit right off stage and, like, pull the cord in and, ravel it up in a nice little round thing.
Oh, I see. Okay, right.
And then, you know...
You mean as the performer maybe paces the stage and uses the microphone?
Yeah, they're walking around singing,
right.
Dancing, not dancing around exactly, but you know, performing music.
Okay, right. You don't want the cord to get too loose to hang over the edge of the stage. He could trip on it. That's a danger there.
Exactly. You coil it up, and then for fun, like, you make a little wave, and if I was slacking, he would flip it over to me. And
it's Peter Tork. It's Peter Tork from the Monkees.
It's not Peter Tork.
Okay, here we go. That was just a guess. Well, shot in the dark. Go ahead, Jeff. Keep going.
Okay, and then here's the one thing. Now, I didn't know anyone there. None of my friends were there, like, in the audience or anything. But if someone was there, I knew I could have at any point yanked the microphone out right in the middle of the big
yes.
song. And
yes.
just ran off stage and just had a great story for the rest of my life. But there was nobody there to see it. So I didn't
Well, why
it.
Would you even consider that? That's just, what's the word? It's the opposite of not stupid. I'm blanking on the word now.
Smart?
Yeah, well, I was a teenager at the time, you know, like 19 years old. So it would have been obnoxious. But what a great story to say that I yanked, won't say the name, microphone during the one big hit song. And it
Song. So this is you. This is your story. You're calling to say that you considered sabotaging a celebrity set and you were in a position to do so, but decided against it. That's your story.
And I did actually, just sitting cable paged and we had a little.
That's your story.
Yeah, that's the story.
But, so I had some interaction, too, a little bit backstage afterwards.
Andy.
Well, that's like saying I saved Neil Young's life. I was in a car. He was crossing right in front of me, and I could have run him over, but decided not to. He owes me his life.
Yeah, that's nice of you to do that.
And yeah.
Thank you for not killing Neil Young.
You're both welcome. That was hypothetical.
Man. Daryl Hannah owes you big time.
Is Daryl Hannah with him now?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's perfect. That's perfect that
what?
They're together.
Why?
I'll tell you later. That's perfect.
Why is that so perfect?
That's exactly what both deserve.
What have you got against Daryl Hannah?
Well, I don't have the whole list in front of me. I didn't bring the whole list.
You know what, people who live in teepees?
People, you mean Indians?
No, Daryl Hannah lives in a teepee.
Native Americans and Daryl Hannah.
I don't know, just
Thank you, Jeff.
She's
thanks.
In a teepee. I don't know.
Okay,
why.
Thanks. Yeah. That little Daryl Hannah aside about her in a teepee, that was more interesting than the story about the guy whose cord I didn't pull.
I have a Daryl Hannah story.
Okay, I want to hear it maybe next week if there's time.
Okay.
Okay, so we're at 201-209-9368. We're talking about Daryl Hannah. We're exchanging Daryl Hannah stories.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air. Caller number three. Or two. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Is it me?
It is
it
you.
It is, yeah.
Hi, this is Julia of Tom and Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Of course you're Julia. How are you? I was just saying to Ken, I hope Julia checks in.
Well, here I am.
Perfect.
So I have a celebrity story. I can only give you two clues. It was
1995-ish. Okay, 1995.
And the place was NBC News. It was my first year there.
You were working at NBC News. What were you doing there?
I started as an intern. Then I moved on to the research. So it was somewhere at that stage. Very.
I imagine you met many interesting people while you were there.
Well, yeah.
Tell us about one of them.
One of my first days, one of my first months, probably.
Right.
They had some change of scenery, and they moved the broadcast from Studio 3B to Studio 2B.
Okay.
And it's a maze of corridors and doors, and they sent me with some kind of an assignment to Studio 2B. And when you're a journalist, the idea is... you don't know what you're doing, but you say that you can do it. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll take it. So here I am in the hallway, absolutely empty hallway, on the third floor of Rockefeller Center with my assignment, and I have no idea where I'm going, and the hallway is empty. And there's this little guy walking towards me, like really short guy with a strange face, really pockmarked, and I really have to do what I have to do. So I come to him and I said, look, hey, do you know where Studio 2B?
Yeah, she didn't
and
know.
And he looks at me like I don't even know who was more scared of who, me of him or him of me. And he shrugged his shoulders. He's
That's
like,
Peter Tork.
I don't really know.
He doesn't know
Peter Tork. So all in all, I found my studio to be, I'm returning back to
Peter Tork
the
wouldn't know
newsroom.
That was either. Peter
and
Tork.
There's the guy.
That's the same guy,
and
Peter Tork.
And everybody is crowding around this guy.
Because he's
Tom
in
Rocco,
the Monkees.
There's Jeff Gromig, the executive producer.
Hey,
the time.
Hey, Julia.
Everybody's
he's
there.
In the Monkees.
Julia, it was not Peter Tork, right, from the Monkees?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Damn.
And,
damn.
I'm
damn it!
Coming to
damn it! Damn it! Damn it!
That guy. And Tom says, dot, dot, dot. And I was really shocked.
Okay, so it was revealed, the name was revealed to you, and you were really shocked.
Was it Rod Stewart? Wasn't Rod Stewart.
Who?
Rod Stewart?
No.
No. Okay. So was it someone in? Was it someone that was news? Was in the news business, the journalism business?
No.
Okay. I am intrigued.
All right, we will find out at the end of the show.
Yes.
Thank you, Julia.
All right.
Can't wait to find out who that was.
You know when I did my little joke?
He was short.
You know when I did my little joke about Peter Tork just then?
Yes.
And I said, oh, no, no, no.
Yes, yes.
My watch asked me if I was okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of your screaming?
No,
because
I guess I banged the table.
How did it put it? What did it say exactly?
It said, it looks like you fell.
Okay.
Are you okay?
But you didn't fall.
And now I just have to explain, no, I'm on the air. I do a weekly call-in show. I have to explain the whole thing to my watch.
What does it say about your restless leg syndrome?
Yeah, you think if I should attach my watch to it, it would drive my watch crazy. I would get tons and tons of steps in if it was a watch attached to it.
Uh-huh.
So who do you think that was? She's at NBC. It's a big celebrity. It's her first week or two at the job. And
well, it was somebody short. That's why I thought
short.
Maybe Rod Stewart.
Is Rod Stewart short?
Yeah.
Take that back.
Yeah, he's very
take that back.
No, he's really short.
Shut up.
He's short.
No, he's great.
Danzig.
He's a legend. He's a god among men.
Might have been Danzig.
I don't know who that is.
He's a singer.
I don't think so.
Might have been Peter Dinklage. He's short.
Well, but what is he newsworthy? Would he be at NBC?
Oh yeah,
News?
You know Game of Thrones. That was.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. But no. This was in the mid '90s.
Oh, okay.
201-209-9368. We have two stories to fill in the blanks.
Good point.
Okay. Jeff. Here's all we know about Jeff's story. The guy used a microphone with a cord. Jeff was in charge of keeping the cord taut.
Right.
Jeff fantasized about yanking on the cord. Jeff decided not to do that.
He should have done it. Oh, my God. That would have been hilarious.
That is some story to dine out on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's what I didn't do. Here's what I considered doing and didn't do.
So right now we have three stories. We have Andy's gambling pal.
Yeah. We have Julia's story. Julia's story also not great. Be honest.
No, I thought it
for
was
for once
pretty
in
good.
Your life.
No, I thought it was
try
great.
Being honest. If you don't like it, you can go back to your
I don't,
own little
I don't,
deceptive
I
ways.
I think you missed a very important detail.
Go ahead.
About Julia's story.
What was it?
The guy was short.
Yeah. 201-209-9368. Tell us a celebrity story, an encounter you had. Don't reveal the name of your celebrity. Tell it to our call screener, Scott, first. Scott seems great.
Yeah, Scott is great.
How did you find him? Did he submit a tape?
He found us.
Yeah.
Started volunteering.
Okay, and then he probably
started board hopping.
He cast a spell on you.
Yep, he did. He cast a spell.
And got you to hire
on
him.
On me, yep. I found myself powerless to resist.
I cast a similar spell, I guess, in my own way, right?
No, not really. No, you did not cast a spell. I had a memory of you. I had a celebrity memory of you from when I was in college. That's how you got in.
Dear God, if I'm a celebrity, buddy, you ought to get out of the house more. 201-209-9368.
Well, you are a celebrity.
I'm not a celebrity.
You have CBS television.
Oh, for the love of God. I work so hard at not being a celebrity.
TV show.
It's a full-time job. 201-209-9368.
You have a TV show called Einstein.
Yeah. A network broadcast TV show.
Still hiring lots of people to work on that.
Oh, please. He can't keep talking.
If you need a paycheck next week,
he can't keep talking forever.
No, I can. I can.
No, you can't. No one can.
No, I can do it.
He's got to get tired.
So if you need a paycheck next year, not this year, but next year when the show goes into production, Andy Breckman, of Madison, New Jersey.
Why do I do
is
this?
Is your man.
Why every week?
Okay, here we go.
This is me driving home every week. What the hell? Why? Every week.
Do you ever say, shoot me in the face?
Who would I say that to?
To yourself.
Okay, let's take the next call, Ken.
Okay. Hi, you're on.
You know, not talking is always an option.
Not much.
It is always an option.
No, not on the radio. Not much of an option. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas.
Hi.
Hey,
who's this?
Tom. It's Tom of Tom and Julie. I just wanted to tell another story of it was about the same time that Julia had heard.
We just heard from Julia. She told she was at NBC and told a great story about her short.
Well, this is Julia's other half, Tom.
Yeah, hey Tom. Yeah. Now, Tom, how many times have you heard Julia's story about the short guy at NBC?
Well, I was kind of there, so I don't even.
Oh, you were there. Is that where you met Julia? Yeah.
I was the one who told her who it was.
Wow. Small world. Circles within circles within circles.
Oh, my
circles.
God. Was it Randy Newman?
It was Randy Newman.
Okay. If it turns out it was Peter Tork, I'm going to.
No, I trust Julia that it was not Peter Tork.
Tom, but this is a different story that you're going to tell.
Completely
is that right?
Different story.
Okay. Go ahead, Tom. We now have a full phone bank.
It's the early 90s,
yep.
And the Apple computer has come out with the Newton. Do you remember the Newton?
Oh, I do.
Handheld.
I remember it.
Okay, got it.
And it was selling so poorly, they were like hiring random people to go into electronics stores to sell it.
Tom Berenger.
I was one of those people. I was in graduate school, needed
Tom
money.
Tom Berenger.
And so I was in the electronics store
Berenger.
On the Upper West Side.
It's got to be Tom Berenger.
Close.
Tom
and this celebrity came in, and I was like, hey, do you know about the Apple Newton? And I was showing him how it, like,
Tom Berenger,
read your
actor.
Handwriting and everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was like, I'm crazy enough to just buy one of these things. And I'm thinking to myself, you have millions of dollars. Of course.
Tom Berenger, millions of dollars. Tom Berenger. Is it Tom Berenger?
It was not Tom Berenger.
Damn it. Damn it to hell.
It was
this
actor
game
who
sucks.
Heard of.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Can you reassure your phone that you're okay?
Fine. Let's just go. Get it over with. It's not Tom Berenger. We've eliminated him. Okay. So it's somebody that could easily afford this computer, but pretended to be on the fence about it.
Yep.
Okay. Fascinating.
Well, you've now ruined Tom's story.
No, I didn't.
Congratulations.
No, I summed it up pretty accurately. Thank you, Tom.
Is there anything else that you wanted to get out while Andy was so rudely interrupting you constantly?
No,
that was it.
That was about it.
It's a guy that considered buying a Newton computer and then decided, in fact, to do it, even though he could afford it and didn't have to, like, put this poor salesman through an ordeal. Thanks very much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
You bet.
Okay.
Tom also wrote a great Roku app for WFMU. Thank you, Tom.
Huh.
Andy doesn't even know what the hell that is.
I know Roku. You go put it on your TV and...
All right, we're up to celebrity number five. Hi,
okay,
you're on the air.
I wonder who it is. Okay, so this is...
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yeah, who's this?
Hi. So in 2001, shortly after September 11th, which was a rough time for me and for all.
I was against it. I consider that a hate crime.
I was working in New Jersey, but I was commuting from Brooklyn.
Yes.
And so I would take the E train down the island of Manhattan and then
over. E-train,
and
yes.
During this time, there were a lot of celebrities that were like serving food for the first responders. And that
Yes, that's true.
And during this time, I came out of the E train and had this fantastic, much like a musician who I worship, with
musician,
silver hair.
Musician, hold on, yes.
Pushed into me by the crowd.
Wow.
And I
okay.
had this moment where I was
musician.
Like, I touched his chest. And
oh, it's
like,
a guy? It's a male musician?
Yes.
Okay,
and
got
it. And
it
was a little crazy, and I looked up into his face, and I was just like, oh, my God. And then, and then he got pushed into the
Eddie
car,
Money.
And I was pushed
Eddie
out.
Money. It's Eddie Money.
And
Eddie
I
Money.
Met him later, actually,
Eddie Money.
As well.
Yes, Eddie Money.
Many years later.
Eddie Money.
Yes, that's my very close encounter story.
Okay, and you met him later, too. Eddie Money.
It wasn't
Eddie Money.
It was not Eddie.
That's my guess, Eddie Money.
Not Eddie Money.
I'll put everything I own.
Cut, like not long silver hair, but
uh-huh. Closely cut short. Silver hair. Short okay. silver hair.
You know, CBGB's back in the day.
Eddie Money.
Moving on to, like, not just, like, CBGB's punk, but, like,
okay.
touching the whole world kind of thing.
Yeah. Wow. He sounds very talented.
It's super talented.
Eddie
we
Money.
All him.
Eddie Money. Baby, hold on to me.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
No problem. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Who do you think it was? I guess we'll find out in a few minutes. Let's take another call. The suspense is killing me.
Hi, you're on the air.
The suspense is just, I'm going crazy.
Hi, is this me?
Yes, yeah. It is you.
I'm now beginning to believe I'm the only person in the tri-state area that can tell an interesting story.
Well, you won't let anybody tell a story
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, oh, really? Really? You think these stories could stand on their own? These stories we've been hearing.
Oh, I see. That's why you're being the way you are.
Yeah.
A
musician.
A musician
jostled me on the subway. A magician came in and bought a computer.
Magician?
I mean, a musician, a celebrity. All right, here we go. Let's try again. Here we go.
All right.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, I worked in a restaurant.
Restaurant,
and,
okay.
I was a dishwasher, and it was before the service had started, so the place wasn't really open.
Yeah.
And the door of the restaurant, and I come out, and they're banging really in a really hostile way and being very kind of aggressive, kind of scary.
Yeah.
And anyway, I opened the door,
Meatloaf.
And it was this woman,
Meatloaf.
And she was rushed right by me. She
Meatloaf.
Was really, really, really just hostile
Meatloaf.
And mean
Stop.
And just mad.
Stop it,
mad. And she just like, she's like, "Where's the damn bathroom?" You know?
Yeah.
So, and I pointed her to the bathroom, and there she goes. And
okay.
I'm just befuddled. I'm like, okay, what's happening here?
Did you recognize her then?
I didn't recognize her at that point.
Okay, she needed to go to the bathroom?
She comes out of the bathroom, and I could see her coming at me from the front. And I also noticed that she was about 9 months pregnant.
Ah,
and she didn't even say thank you or anything, and she stormed out and went away.
I know this is just a hint, and this is not an official guess, but I know Stevie Nicks uses the bathroom occasionally.
Nope.
No, shoot. Okay.
Blake
Who
Lively?
Could it be? Blake Lively, 9 months pregnant?
No, this was back in the, this probably won't matter. This was like in the late 80s.
Oh, okay, Misha Barton.
Okay, wait, hold on.
No.
That's a clue. It's some celebrity whose child now is in their mid-40s. Okay, so
probably,
think.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, work it backwards like that. Okay, I'm intrigued. I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to hear who that celebrity is.
Bernadette Peters.
Oh, Bernadette Peters.
No, I wish.
Okay, I'm going to take a guess. I know you just said no to Bernadette Peters, but I'm going to try that name again. Bernadette Peters.
He already
said no.
Okay,
he said no.
Well, I thought maybe he forgot and was confused.
All right, thank you, caller.
Okay,
can't wait
thanks.
To find out who it was.
Right.
Really, you can't wait to find out who it was who jostled this guy in a restaurant in the mid-80s. Really,
she was rude.
Yeah,
she was rude.
Really, Ken, you're waiting to find out who that was.
I don't know if you heard that detail.
Okay.
That she was a celebrity and she was mean.
Okay. We're going to add a new prerequisite. You have to, before you call, look up the word interesting and memorize its definition. Here we go. 201-209-9368.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, really? Hi,
yeah,
it's Zoe.
It's you. Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Zoe. Have you met a...
Hi, I can't believe I got through.
Yeah, I'll tell you why that's funny. Nobody calls us. Okay, Zoe.
Anyways.
Yep.
So the year was like 2010 or so,
2010.
And I was in art school in Frankfurt.
Oh, you were in Germany? Okay.
I was in like a creative writing class.
Okay.
Taught by this science fiction writer, an American science fiction writer.
Okay.
And I look around the class, and this famous actor is just sitting in this small class with us. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's
blank. It's blank. But you recognized him right away? You recognized him from movies or TV?
He was a writer.
No, he's an actor.
Movies. He was a movie
Movies.
Star.
Oh, that kind of narrows it down. Movies. Let me think. I saw a movie the other day. Who was in it? I'm blanking now. Movies.
Dennis Quaid?
Oh, Dennis Quaid.
No.
Okay, well, carry on.
Carry on, then.
Okay. So all the German art students are too cool for school. no one is saying anything.
That's Dennis Quaid.
Right after,
that's Dennis
I
Quaid.
Like,
you little liar. You're describing Dennis Quaid. Too cool. Cool guy in the movies.
But then I was just like, oh, my God, it's you, blank. And he was like, yep, it's true, I am. I'm friends with this teacher. And then we just sort of spent the evening at this little student bar having drinks and, you know, talking about acting and Hollywood. And he was talking about how, you know, it's a fun job and
did
you do kind of a serious arty movie.
And then he hit
on
you.
And then you can do a silly movie. He, like, came up with, like, he's like, then you do, you know, Eddie Murphy robs the bank in China. Or as an, that was, like, his weird example of, like, a silly movie.
You mean he was plotting out? He was plotting out.
Okay,
he was plotting out.
We just had a lovely time.
He was plotting out a successful movie career and his strategy. Well, what a great memory! That actually is very close to interesting. If you stood on your tiptoes, you could see interesting from there. And then let me ask you this: Did he hit on you at all? Was there a moment where he was hitting on you? I don't believe that.
No, at the end of the night, I was just like, blank, how am I ever going to see you again? Are you on Facebook or something? And he was like, nope, I don't use that. I guess we'll just have to leave it up to fate. But no, it was not creepy even remotely.
Was it just you and him at the restaurant, or was it a crowd of kids?
Just me and him. Yeah. No one was being, I don't know if nobody recognized him or they were just too hip to bother.
Yeah. Sounds to me like it was The Rock.
Sounds to me like it was Tim Robbins.
Nope.
Tim Curry?
Nope.
You're saying it wasn't Tim Curry.
That's what she just said.
I can't believe it.
All right, thank you, Zoe.
Thanks very much. Okay, Zoe. Well, and you'll always have that wonderful memory, that night with...
Well, we have 6 minutes left. Should we get Scott back in here now or take one more?
You want to do one more very quickly? Okay, here we go.
Hi, you're on the air.
How exciting is this? Oh, wait, my wife is texting me. Here's what my wife said. Look, you want to see?
That's okay.
This you'll find this very
interesting. We only have 6 minutes
left. No, this is my wife. Too jerky.
Yeah, you're being too jerky.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just the right amount of jerky.
Yeah, but tonight I'm too jerky. And that's my treat to you, you and all our listeners.
Hi, you're on the air.
Am I on the air?
You are.
Sure.
You are.
Imagine how excited we are.
I have a pretty quick one. This is Kevlicky. How you doing?
Okay, doing great.
Hey, Kevlicky.
So I work in the farmer's market in New York City where there seems to be a lot of celebrities around there sometimes.
Yes.
I recognize this guy from coming to the market occasionally.
Yes.
And I wanted to say hi to him. So I walk up to him and I say, do you know Andy Breckman?
No. That
didn't
happen.
And he was really polite. He smiled and he started to laugh and he said, oh, yes, I actually do. And he's like, are you a friend of Andy's?
Liar. This is a lie.
And I said, well, no, I'm familiar with Andy, and I listened to his radio show, 7 Second Delay, and he was very polite, and he said, oh, that's a really, really funny show, isn't it?
I don't believe a word of this. This is you just trying to crawl your way up my butt for some reason. What's the catch? What's your angle?
Must have been John Lovitz. Seth Green.
Ah, Seth Green. There you go. Well, I can't wait to hear. I'm keen to hear.
Breckenmeyer.
Yeah, Breckenmeyer. That would be a dream. Breckenmeyer. Would I be sitting here if I was an acquaintance of Breckenmeyer?
Walter Matthau?
Yeah, Walter Matthau.
All right, thank you, Kevlicky.
Thank you, Kevlicky. Okay, so now we're going to bring...
We need Scott back in here.
We're
going to
bring Scott and bring your list, Scott, your master list. We're fine. Oh, this is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Are you curious at all?
We only have 4 minutes,
Who are you most curious about?
The rude lady in the bathroom at the restaurant.
Yeah,
we gotta whiz through these.
Okay, so first off, you want to do my celebrities? Okay, go ahead, Scott. Well, I could do mine myself, right?
I think you should.
I was filming a movie, and Paul Rodriguez was one of the actors, and he, it turns out, was a serious gambler. So that was him. Oh, and then the father was the father of Will Ferrell from SNL. Right. So that's close to interesting.
Okay. Those aren't exactly celebrities, but okay.
I hate An hour each way. Scott, an hour each way.
Okay, Scott, tell us who the microphone guy Jeff was considering sabotage on.
Microphone guy was Kenny Rogers.
Oh, man! Now, that's a celebrity.
It's a celebrity, but it's a non-story. I could have ruined Kenny Rogers' set.
Yeah, and he decided not to.
Okay.
And that's why Kenny Rogers' career lived on.
Okay. And then who else? Who was Julia? Who did Julia meet at NBC?
Julia met and didn't recognize Robert Redford.
Whoa!
Oh, Robert Redford. He's shorter than average. We just learned that.
Is he short?
Well,
according
to Julia.
But he's very well endowed. You never would think that he was so short.
Dear God.
Okay. Dear God.
Wake up, Ken. You're dreaming.
Who is the
Ken
guy who either bought or did not buy an Apple Newton device?
That would be Willem or Willem Dafoe.
William Dafoe.
Oh, my God.
This is the stupidest. Okay.
And I love Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. Now you have a great now you can dine out on that story, Ken.
Okay. Who was the silver-haired musician on the E train right after 9/11? Was it David Byrne?
It was, in fact.
I guessed it.
Ken got it. David Byrne.
Wow.
What I love is that made Ken's day. It says so much more about Ken than anyone else.
Okay. The rude actress in the bathroom at the restaurant.
In Germany. Was that in Germany?
No, that was not in
Germany. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Marie Osmond.
Marie Osmond, 9 months pregnant. That's right.
Figures.
You know what?
Figures.
I read that about Marie Osmond. She loves sex. So that now fits perfectly.
Why?
Because she was knocked up. There's no other explanation.
She's a Mormon. She's not supposed to be mean.
No, she loves sex. Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean she was rude there.
She's a Mormon. Who ever heard of a rude Mormon?
She was a lapsed Mormon for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
All right, who else do we have?
Okay, we're in art school now, 2010, art school with Zoe in Frankfurt, and movie star, male movie star in her class.
Hanging around art school was Paul Giamatti.
Whoa!
Oh, I have a Paul Giamatti story, too.
Do you? Really?
Well, I'll tell it next time. Okay, and then what else?
And Kev Licky, was that a real story about knowing Andy Breckman and blah, blah, blah?
Seems so. He claims it was Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, well, for the love of God.
Well, of course.
Well, I'd be insulted if Shalhoub didn't.
I forgot to mention Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah. Okay. So, what have we learned today?
That you have a, who do you have?
I think we've learned if it
You have a Willem Dafoe story?
If your first idea for a show is rained out, to really give serious consideration, to another idea before you commit to it.
Oh, yeah, you have a Paul Giamatti story. Go ahead, tell
it. I'll tell it another time. I'm going to save it.
Yeah.
That'll be my big farewell to the FMU
family. I have a Joe Jackson story.
Okay, why don't you save that one? I can't wait. That'll be our big farewell show.
I have a Lou Reed story.
Okay.
I have a David Crosby story.
This can't go on forever. But, Scott, good luck on this week's show.
I have a Tom Brokaw story. I have a Sigourney Weaver story.
Yeah.
But we're out of time. This is WFMU East Orange.
Your wife is one lucky woman.
WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9.
Wow.
Online at WFMU.org.
Ken.
Hey, thank
Ken,
you.
Tell me that Sigourney Weaver story again, Kenny.
Thank you, Jeremiah, for another great newsletter. Yeah. And coming up right now on WFMU, it is 21 Lounge.
If I get a ticket, I'm going to post it online. It'll be five in a row.
21 Lounge with Don Fleming.
I want to hit somebody
Scott,
hard.
Scott, thank you for your help tonight.
Yes, Scott, thanks. You're a mensch.
Call us lucky, you and I. Lucky girl, lucky guy. And when I hold your hand or touch your cheek, I know I'm a lifetime lucky streak. A lucky rainbow lights the sky when we kiss, when we sigh. They call me lucky, Mr. Lucky Guy. Evening, chillin'. This is Don Hayes from the Mark 2100 21 Lounge right on the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. And we have a nice little group here tonight, and we're going to give you a rendition of what we do every night. Thank you, chillin'.
Nervous, don't smoke. Drink whiskey. That'll steady your nerves. My boyfriend was nervous. He went to the doctor. The doctor said, drink whiskey. It'll steady your nerves, and it works. He got so steady last night, he couldn't move. Did you hear about the drunk going down the street? He met a priest, and the priest said, the drunk, what have you been drinking, fella? The drunk looked up and said, three fathers, feather. We have Put over here, and she's got three men. If I had three Buicks, I'd give her one. She's got three men. Greedy girl. Triple your pleasure, triple your fun. I'll take the three guys, and you can chew the gum. But I'll say one thing, girls. Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. You might like it so much, you can do it today and tomorrow, too. Save water. Take a shower with a friend. And remember, in liquor it's age, in cigarettes it's mildness, and a Corvette it's impossible. Some guy told me not if you open both doors, put it in reverse. I've never been in a Corvette. I don't know about that. I have a Rolls. Not a Rolls Royce, just roll. Don't run, just roll. But I'm a very good driver, and you girls are very good drivers, too. One day my husband came home from work, and I said, well, the car's in the living room. He said, well, how did it get there? I said, you go in the kitchen, turn left. Here's a little song we dedicate to all the girls who have their hair fixed on Saturday. Turn the old maids loose at 12 o'clock. Wake up, Nora. I got an old maid right there. Never on Sunday. Never on Sunday, twice on Friday. On your birthday, three times on your birthday. How's that grab you there, Leon? It's not how long you make it, it's how you make it long. That kind of grabs all you guys. See, I figure all these things out and I'm on the girls' side, believe me. And here's a very song recorded by Barbara Streisand. Very pretty song goes. Father has a business strictly secondhand. Everything from toothpicks to a baby grand. Stuff in our apartment came from Daddy's store. Even the clothes I'm wearing someone wore before. It's no wonder that I feel abused. I never get a thing that ain't been used. I'm wearing second-hand hats, second-hand clothes. That's why they call me second-hand Rose. Even our piano in the parlor, Daddy bought for 10 cents on the dollar. Second-hand pearls, I'm wearing second-hand curls. I never get a single thing that's new. Even Jake the plumber, he's the man I adore. He had the nerve to tell me he's been married before. Oh, everyone knows that I am second-hand Rose from Second Avenue. From Second Avenue. Thank you, darlings. It's very warm in here. Bartender, would you please open one of the windows behind the bar?